Well, hey there. Welcome to the Friday edition of Catholic Answers Live. I'm Sherry Brownrigg, in again for Cy Kellett, who is in Australia, the land down under, and he's with some other folks from Catholic Answers, and they are spreading the faith down there, so please pray for them. Happy to be with you for the third day in the row, and today we've got a great program lined up for you, so I'm going to give the phone number first, because you got to call. This is going to be a really, really exciting show. I'm sure you have questions about this, because we all do. The phone number is 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. And our guest this first hour is Dr. Michael Naughton, and we're going to be talking about work and leisure. So, Michael, welcome to the program.
Sure. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Well, it's great. I'm going to tell the folks exactly why you're on, because I can't think of anyone better than you to talk about this particular subject and how they work together and sometimes in our own brains work against each other. But Dr. Naughton is the director of the Center for Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota. And he holds the chair there in Catholic Studies and is a full professor in the Department of Catholic Studies. And he taught in the College of Business for over 20 years. He helped coordinate and write the Vocation of the Business Leader, and that was issued by the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development, and that's been translated in over 15 languages, and he also is the author, co-author, or co-editor of 10 books and over 50 articles. So really, this is really important that you're here today, because I think your newest book here, Getting Work Right, Labor and Leisure in a Fragmented World, this is an important book for us to be talking about. And I'm just going to come right out there and tell you, Michael, that I do not do the work and leisure balance well at all. I'm completely off kilter. And I have a feeling that a lot of the folks who are listening right now, especially if they're just trying to kind of pour themselves out for the Lord, they might be in that same boat. Or even if they're just working, trying to provide for their family. So I guess the first question I have about this is, why does work matter to the human person and human experience?
Well, sure. You know, it is like all these things. We're all beginners. We're all under construction. And of course, this is why we have a merciful God. But he's always asking him more out of us. And so, you know, the nature of work has always been a concern of the church. That's why the church has this thing called the social tradition. And the reason why work has been such an important thing is that we're made to work. I mean, you just got to go back to Genesis, right? We are homo faber, as in Latin, the man the maker. And we're called to work. As a matter of fact, most of us realize, you know, that when we get laid off, we get unemployed, there's often some problems that go along with it. And even those who are, even sometimes the voluntary kind of leaving, some people win the lottery, for example, and they leave work. It's an interesting thing. People who win the lottery are usually not happier, even if they don't have work and don't have to work. So there's something in us. It's the way we're made. We're made in God's image. The image of God is creator. We've been given this command to have to subdue and have dominion of the earth. We have these gifts and talents and abilities that kind of develop us. And so that nature of work is there. And here's the big thing, Sherry, and it comes right out of John Paul II, who wrote an encyclical letter in 1981 on human work, and he called it the subjective dimension of work. That when you and I work, we got to change things, and we have all these, you know, indicators and all these tools that evaluate the changes we do outside. We have to, you know, raise our recruitment. We have to raise our numbers. We have to get this done, that done. But what happens in work is you not only change things out there, it simultaneously changes you. And thus, sometimes we're not always clear about, well, what is the change that's occurring in me? And this is why the church speaks about the subjective dimension. It's why the church speaks about a spirituality of work. It speaks about the importance of prayer and reflection and contemplation and confession. All of these things that we bring work to, so that we understand that the changes that's occurring with us need to be moving toward virtue rather than vice. Because, you know, a lot of people wake up 20 years in the workplace and they say, wow, how did I get here? You know, what happened here? So that's why work is certainly important. It's why the church always speaks about work.
What do you mean when you say moving toward virtue instead of vice?
Yeah. So, you know, all our activity is either, you know, the definition of virtue, for example, is simply, you know, good habits. And the question is, when I'm at work, are the habits that I'm creating good? And thus, are the habits creating, in a sense, the connection to the character who I am? Right? Because I don't know if you have this in your house, but I have, my wife puts these signs up on the refrigerator, right? And it's what I call refrigerator wisdom. And it's, of course, often directed toward me.
She knows where you are.
And I remember one of them was something like, you know, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny, right? All of these things are interrelated to each other, right? You know, I just don't go to work and do something and it doesn't have any effect on me. It's either becoming virtuous or vicious. Either it's making me better or it's making me bitter. And so that's the idea of virtue. Am I moving into virtue in the work that I do?
Yeah. Well, I guess that makes sense, you know, and I know that there are a lot of folks out there, you know, having worked at a Catholic radio station before, I remember a lot of people came to apply at the station and, when you know, the old question, why do you want to work here? They all wanted to work at a place that was really oriented towards their faith, where they could be open about their faith and all that, which doesn't even necessarily, unfortunately, make it easier. But, you know, at least you can practice that out in the open here. But, you know, the thing that I often think about is there are so many wonderful professions out there, Michael, that people are doing. And, you know, interiorly, they have this deep, deep Catholic faith. And they bring that virtue into and that faith into their workplace, and they can make a huge difference.
No, exactly right. And, you know, and again, sometimes the laity always don't always recognize this, although I think certainly a lot of the teachings lead us to this, that we are called to evangelize. We are called to bring the gospel and to wherever we go. And part of bringing the gospel to work is bringing that joy, bringing that love, bringing that, you know, sense of being sensitive to the sufferings of others. I mean, you know, I often tell my students, you know, for most of my students, they're not going to do illegal activities. But for many of my students, I mean, even for myself, we often walk by suffering and we don't even know we're walking by it. And when people come alive with their faith, they're looking, you know, they're seeing things. They're seeing things more deeply. They're seeing things more broadly. They're seeing the whole and not the part. And when you walk into a workplace and you have that type of disposition and attitude, people notice it.
Yeah.
And that's part of the witnessing that we're called to do in the workplace. And often, you know, we're doing it by our actions. And then somewhere along the line, people start asking. And that's where one can then move into the word. So I do think work is like in everything we're doing, we're called to witness. And that's the universal call to this holiness that's just not in one sphere of our lives, but it's in all areas of our life. And yet, you know, how you do that in the workplace, depending on what the workplace is, it's going to take some real prudence and some real thinking about doing it well.
We are talking with Dr. Michael Naughton about work and leisure. And remember the phone number to call in, and you can get your question on the air with Dr. Naughton. It's 888-318-7884. And, you know, the title of the book is Getting Work Right. So what is it about work that we have to get right?
Right. So here's the thesis of the book, and this is at the heart of it, right? In order for us to get work right, we have to get leisure right.
Okay.
And it's in this relationship that is so critical. And if you think about it in terms of the tradition, in terms of the Catholic tradition, the tradition has been talking since its beginning between the relationship between the contemplative life and the active life. And we are called to not only work, but we're also called to rest. We are called to not only give of our lives, but we're also called to receive. And this is why the highest virtue in Christianity is charity. you know, faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. And Benedict, Pope Benedict, defines charity in a beautiful, simple way. He says, charity is a love received and given. And the idea there is that if I can receive, and this is what leisure is about, if I can receive in a way that is deep, that I receive God's grace, that I'm open to His word, that I receive the sacrament, right? That I have this contemplative heart that can be open to things, then I begin to give in the right way and not in a disordered way. And so this relationship between work and leisure is really a relationship between contemplation and action, as well as receiving and giving. And that's the rhythm of life. It's like breathing in, breathing out, right? It's about receiving and giving. And the problem for us, particularly Americans, is that we have a really hard time receiving.
Tell me about
because,
it.
You're right. Because you and I have this, you know, when my wife, and I've dedicated the book to my wife because she's, I've learned so much from her, but, you know, I'll say I'm giving a talk, and she goes, on what? And I said, well, on leisure. And she smirks, you know. and because Americans, you know, and it's the great thing about being an American, we're a can-do nation. We're pragmatists. We want to get things done. And there's really good things about that. But like all strengths, it has an underbelly. It has a shadow side. And the shadow side is that we fail to do that which is essential to our humanity, which is to be silent, to receive, to contemplate, to receive the word, to receive that which God needs to give us.
Amen. We are talking with Dr. Michael Naughton about the sort of push-pull and the relationship between work and leisure and how we should look at it as Catholics. So we are going to take a break here, but coming up next, we're going to start to take your calls. So please do call in at 888-318-7884 if you have a question a little bit more deeper into this particular subject, or maybe you're doing something that you are kind of bothered by. And you're not quite sure, you know, where this fits in with this whole discussion, call in, ask that question, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back here on Catholic Answers Live.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Forever they will be venerated and distinguished for heroic virtue. Join the Holy Father as these witnesses to the Christian faithful are raised to the altars, including John Henry Cardinal Newman, live from St. Peter's Square. Holy Mass with canonizations, including John Henry Cardinal Newman, Sunday, October 13th at 3:30 a.m. Eastern, here on EWTN.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Sherry Brownrigg, and we are talking with Dr. Michael Naughton this hour about work and leisure. And I've already come clean on my relationship there. I don't do leisure very well. In fact, I have a hard time vacationing. I took a couple of days off maybe about 2 weeks ago, Michael, and I that was one of the first times in 3 years that I didn't check my email. Can you believe that? Isn't that the saddest thing you've ever heard?
it's a challenge for all of us. It's a big challenge.
It sure is, yeah. Well, call in. We've got plenty of open phone lines for you, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And, Michael, you know, one of the things that this discussion makes me think about is that really popular movement right now. A lot of folks are saying, you know, that the desire is to get to the point where we really realize that we are not what we do. In other words, that we are created in this, you know, this beautiful human person. Some people say it's God. I certainly do. Those who are in the secular world, maybe they don't. But but that we're not, you know, when someone says, tell me about yourself, the very first thing we say is, well, I'm an accountant, or, but that's not really who we are. Can you talk just a little bit about that and how your philosophy plays into that?
Sure, sure. Well, in the book, I speak about it largely in terms of the challenge of careerism. And you're exactly right. We're more concerned about what we do and achieve than what we become in the doing and the achieving. And as your point, I mean, the movement is, it's often, it's from hard experience that no matter what I achieve, there's still something about that that fails to really get at who I am. So I do think this career problem. I remember several years ago, and I write about this in the book. You remember Lee Iacocca?
Sure.
And he was one of the great turnaround, you know, CEOs from the Chrysler Corporation in the 80s, and the company goes bankrupt, and he turns the company around, and he makes it a very successful company. And everyone says, gosh, this is, you know, the kind of the Bill Gates, and, you know, and all this. This is just really great. And about 3 years after his retirement in the early 90s, he's on the front page of the Fortune magazine, and the caption is his picture, and it says, "How I Flunked Retirement." And so here is a man who seemingly knew who he was as the CEO of the corporation, but he was kind of lost, kind of spiritually at sea. And you know, one can only admire Lee Iacocca being honest, right? That, you know, something's not quite right here. And so when we think of ourselves as simply a professor, an executive, you know, a doctor, a lawyer, whatever it might be, those are just simply too small for the human spirit.
Yeah.
And they will always break. They will not last. They will not satisfy. And that's why, you know, work is important, but it's not the fullness of who I am in terms of my identity.
Yeah. Talking with Dr. Michael, I almost called you father here. Your wife would have been very surprised by that, wouldn't she?
It's not the first time, if it did happen. So,
I'm sure that's true, yeah. Dr. Michael Naughton, and he is the director of the Center for Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. His new book is Getting Work Right, Labor and Leisure in a Fragmented World. And we're talking about that relationship between leisure and work. And the phone number that you can call to get your question in, 888-318-7884, 888-318-TRUTH. And, you know, another question that I have here is the concept of leisure. We may think we know what that is, but that's a big part of what you're talking about. So what do you mean by leisure?
Well, you're exactly right. And the word leisure, I've been even told by certain people that I shouldn't use it because it's fraught with misunderstandings. Because when we think of leisure, you know, we think of golf, right? Or we think of the general idea of amusement. And by the way, the word amusement, I find this always fascinating. The etymology of the word amusement, the origin of it, comes from the word muse. It's a Greek word for muses. And the muses were the goddesses of the liberal arts. And that's where we get the word music from. It was an attempt to refresh us, to help us be created. And when you put the word in front of a word, you negate it. If I'm a theist, I believe in God. If I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God. Well, it's interesting. The word amusement, and you can see this on Wiktionary, for example, and one definition is this: to stare stupidly at something. Right. Now, by the way, this is my wife's description of me watching television, right? And the amusement simply does never satisfy. You know, I teach a course the Catholic Studies program here, and I teach a course on faith and business, and I have a lot of business students in my course. And, you know, they're all budding business people. But the real interesting questions we have is over leisure. Because I ask them, what do you do in your leisure? And all of them default. Not all of them, but a lot of them default to the common ones, right? To Netflix, to streaming, you know, to all sorts of episodes that they will, the movies, to the video games. And I always ask them, well, when you do that, how do you feel afterwards?
Yeah.
And they will all say they're not satisfied.
Yeah.
A lot of them feel guilty because they probably should have been doing something else more productive. And I ask, do you feel restful? No. this doesn't give me rest. You know, and that's what leisure should do. It should give you rest. And that's why, you know, the modern forms of leisure have a certain bankruptcy to them. And yet we're often in bad habits. We default to it. And so the book is really premised on a German Catholic philosopher. His name is Joseph Pieper. And he wrote a fascinating book in 1948 called Leisure, the Basis of Culture. And Sherry, if you just be patient with me for 1 second, he writes this in 1948 in Germany. Germany has been decimated by the Soviets and been decimated by the Americans and the British. And so you would think, oh gosh, here's a typical philosophy academic who's out to lunch in the ivory tower. We got to work. And what Pieper says is, no. You have to realize, how do we get in this mess in the first place? Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Because we did not have this rich notion of what leisure should be about. I mean, this has grave implications. And thus, in the book, he defines leisure abstractly, but I think if we can get it this way, he says, it's the attitude of the mind, the condition of the soul, to receive the reality of the world. And thus, it's not about my actions. It's not about my accomplishments. It's not about my, you know, what I can do. No. It's about, do I have the capacity to receive the Lord? Do I have the capacity to receive the word, grace, the sacrament? And by the way, do I have the capacity to receive criticism? Do I have the capacity to receive my failures? Right? All of these things is necessarily connected to this idea of the importance of being receptive in the deepest sense of the word. So leisure is about this deep sense of receptivity.
You know, that's really beautiful, thinking about this. First of all, the phone lines are open, by the way, or some of them are, 888-318-7884, talking with Dr. Michael Naughton about work and leisure. You know, when you think about leisure, you've already told us that a lot of people just default to things like Netflix and all that because they really don't know what to do. They don't have a real understanding of leisure itself. But leisure almost becomes, in the way you talk about it, really kind of the fulfillment of what God wants for us. And when we do not receive it, then we are actually not receiving this gift from God. Am I hearing that right?
Absolutely. It's exactly right. And it's the reason why Pieper says we will destroy ourselves.
Hmm.
If we do not connect to this deepest sense of what leisure is about. And of course, he experienced it in Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, think about the concentration camps. What's over the Auschwitz camp? Work will make us free. No. Work will destroy us. By itself, work will not satisfy us. And thus, the question is, well, what will? And that's precisely this idea, as you say, God is wanting to give us things. And do I have the receptive mind and heart to receive it?
Mm, that's beautiful. Do you have any examples of the type of leisure that might fulfill us? I'm sure a lot of other folks have that same question, but I'm trying to think myself in my own life, what can I substitute for the Netflix and the things that are, you know, happening now with things that really will be accepting that gift from God?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, if you think about it, the last chapter of the book talks about Sunday. And Sunday is often considered the kind of, we often consider it the last day of the week, kind of the mop-up day, things of that sort. But it's really the first day of the week in many respects. And Sunday is the day of leisure. It's the day of rest. It's the Sabbath. Sabbath means to rest. And so I do think, and we can come back to that, but at the heart of leisure is worship. And so, and Sunday is an important day to that. So that's one area. The second one is the idea of contemplation and prayer. Prayer becomes this kind of very powerful form of leisure. So for Joseph Pieper, for example, he would say that the worship, the feast, right, and this idea of contemplation is very important. You know, the wedding, You know, the idea of feast days, the festivals, the family dinner. By the way, think about the family dinner for a minute. Mm-hmm. I've spent 4 semesters in Italy. And by the way, when I got there, I did not like the Italians. But the one thing Italians taught me is how to enjoy a meal. Mm-hmm. And to be quite frank, the Italians can be somewhat critical of us Americans, because what do we do as Americans? We put all the food that we have on the plate, right? You know, we put everything. What do? They have courses, one at a time, just mm-hmm. one at a time, and they take their time with it. It's leisurely.
Wow. Well, that's a good start for us. And friends, we've got a couple of lines available if you want to call in and ask the question of Dr. Michael Naughton about work and leisure. 888-318-7884. Brendan and Rachel, you'll be up first. We'll be right back here on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible, Jimmy Akin's The Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Do you need God now?
Share your urgent request to God on Monday's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie at noon Eastern.
Now back to more of Catholic Answers Live.
And we are indeed back here on Catholic Answers Live. I'm Sherry Brown, Rick in for Cy Kellett, who is in the land down under in Australia. And this hour we are talking with Dr. Michael Naughton about work, life, and how work and leisure, and how those two actually fit together. Now, just a preview of next hour, Dr. David Deville's going to be with us, and we'll be talking about Cardinal Newman and Catholic education. So looking forward to that. Of course, we are anticipating the canonization of Cardinal Newman this weekend in Rome, so that's very exciting. But back to the phones now. Michael, we've got some great calls lined up here. First of all, we've got Brendan in Massachusetts listening on WQPH. Hey, Brendan, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. My question was, it seems to me we live in the economic world of largely artificial work and artificial, encouraging us to cultivate artificial needs. I was wondering if there's any sort of, especially contemporary body of Catholic thought that posits a sort of limitation on the unregulated profit motive and an economy more of self-sufficiency and self-reliance rather than the jobs economy.
Yeah, great question, Brendan, and somewhat of a complicated one. if I'm understanding what you're saying, we do. You're exactly right. We do live in a kind of consumeristic world that kind of creates a lot of artificiality and overconsumption. And one of the things that the within the Catholic teaching, if you think about what a good company would be, right? A good corporation would be, is that they should create goods. So we would talk about good goods, good work, and good wealth. And so the interesting one is the question of good goods. And here we have to be mindful of a couple of things. So while we do live in a consumeristic culture that in a sense hyper, you know, it's somewhat, how would you say it? It creates a higher level of consumption than what we need, and thus it fails to get at what you might call the self-sufficiency. But on the other hand, there's a sense of a distinction between goods and wants, needs and wants. And in one sense, and when I say needs, I don't mean those things that just are bare basic survival, right? Think about, for example, in our closet, one of our closets in our household, we have all sorts of games. Now, are games a need? Well, in one sense, they are, because they help us flourish. And so there's a sense, if you think about the needs aspect of those things that help us flourish versus wants, which are those things that, in a sense, they either in and themselves don't really do much for us. And what often we tend to do is overconsume them. So I do think the economy should be thinking about the idea of we need to be careful of producing artificial needs that actually leads into a consumerism, and be much more mindful of creating needs or goods that are really good and services that really serve.
Brendan, I hope that's helpful.
Yeah. Are there any books, any works that address that specifically?
Well, you know, Sherry mentioned a text that we worked with the Vatican. It's called The Vocation of the Business Leader. And it actually, it's actually on our website, since we're part of the public, we published it here in the United States. And it lays out some of those three notions of the goods. And I'm sorry, this is total self-promotion, Brendan, but I do deal with this. I have a whole chapter of this on my book, Getting Work Right. So there's some self-promotion. My apologies for that, but I guess I have to throw that in there.
Just supplying Brendan with the necessary resources. So you mentioned that the Vocation of the Business Leader is on the website. What website is that?
So it's on the, if anybody would just put in, you know, in a search engine, the Vocation of the Business Leader, it usually comes right up. But it's on the Catholic Studies website.
Okay.
In the John A. Ryan section.
Okay, great. Brendan, thank you so much for that great question and your call. We do appreciate that. 888-318-7884. And now that Brendan has dropped off, that means a line is available for you. We go next to Mansfield, Ohio. Rachel is there listening to St. Gabriel Radio. Hey, Rachel, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there.
What's your... So my question, I think, kind of relates to the whole executive thing. And I'm wondering, what should a good balance look like? And you were talking a little bit earlier about having the capacity to be able to receive. So how does the person develop that capacity to receive, like, rest day without feeling guilty about every other obligation that we have, especially work?
Now, Michael, before you answer that, Rachel, your phone is a little bit tough to understand. So just in case our listeners couldn't understand that, the question Rachel had answered was, you know, what's a good balance between work and leisure, and how do you develop that balance without feeling guilty about not doing things, et cetera, et cetera. So, Michael, I'll let you answer that question now.
Well,
Yeah, you know, Rachel, it's a great question, and all of us feel, particularly I have five kids, they're older now, but I remember when they were younger, you know, the demands of the work, demands of the family, demands of volunteer commitments, all those things, it's difficult. And I do think, though, that I wonder, I'm not quite sure the word balance is the right word, although there are times when we want to kind of try to balance things. But the problem with balance is that it's often us who's trying to achieve, the kind of equilibrium of things. And the fact is that balance can sometimes, what it does is I got work over here, I got my leisure over here. But the problem is that they're not connected, right? They're just balanced with each other. And that creates what the Second Vatican Council called one of the greatest errors of our age, which is called the divided life. Mm-hmm. And thus, that divided life will often generate all sorts of problems that go along with it. And so what we're always trying to do is thinking about how do the two of them relate to each other? And so it's not a matter of, depending on one's state of life, depending on one's situation, it's not a matter of a time allocation, but it's a matter of that I can actually, when the Lord is in my life and I'm really receiving him, he will then guide me about how that work should be done. And we live in a fallen world. Guilt is always part of it. We always are wrestling with it. We never get it fully right. But I do think it's going to give us a greater degree of consolation that this is where I need to be going to. So yeah. When we think about it, not in terms of a balance act, but in terms of a more integrative whole, and when we bring all these things to the Lord and we allow the Lord to kind of operate in our lives, he will then begin to order the way that the work should be. And I think, again, it doesn't always provide bliss because none of us are living in full bliss, but it provides, I think, a deeper sense of saying, no, this is the right way I should be moving forward toward.
Yeah. It's interesting, Rachel. I also had that experience. I tried to do that old, work-life balance that so many different organizations, books, articles, radio shows were saying, well, this is what you have to try to do. And Michael, it just filled me with anxiety because I was trying to balance them in a way that was not natural for me. And the integration is what was really natural because I like to work. I really like to do it. But I had to give myself permission to experience that leisure and that gift. And, I'm still not very good at it. But when you just really seek that balance, it actually makes you even more out of balance. Funny conundrum.
Well, it's interesting. I have a good Protestant friend who often says, Jesus wasn't balanced.
That's he right. Never kind of balanced life. Balanced. He worked all the time.
But he had this deeper sense of the reality that was in front of him, and he would take time to go pray, even in the craziness of life. Everyone's wanting to get healed, they want to get fed, they want to get talked to, and he says, no, I got to go in the desert. Right. And so he knows that he doesn't go in the desert for balance, but he goes in the desert that this contemplative life, or put it another way, our active life will be deepened by the contemplative life. And I think that, again, it's the nature of that relationship that is critical.
Using Jesus as that model again. This makes me think about the fact that a sense of mission, which we all have, no matter what we do, no matter what kind of work or where we're actually working, or even if we're not working, we all have a mission as baptized Christians to make God known and loved. Does understanding that mission actually help us with that integrated life as well, just, as Jesus was?
Yeah. No, it's precisely, what we're always attempting to do in our lives is, there's a sense that for all of us is a deep search for happiness. Now, of course, how you understand that word happiness is the key thing. And we know, and this is what Thomas Aquinas speaks about in the Summa Theologica, right? What we do is we make these wrong turns. So we think it's going to be achievements. We think it's going to be money. We think it's going to be power. We think it's going to be pleasure. We think it's going to be, name the list. And all of those things are inadequate. They're not bad. They're not innocent of bad, but they do not satisfy the deepest reality within us. And your point about the role of mission is a sense that it's trying to name that which is most deeply within us of what we're made for.
Yeah.
And that can only be answered in a spiritual transcendent realm of God.
Fascinating conversation on work and leisure with Dr. Michael Naughton. And we've got a couple of phone lines available. We're up against a break here, but we'll head back to the phones after that. 888-318-7884-888-318-TRUTH. And we'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
Join us on air today on Catholic Answers Live.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the Church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Sherry Brownrigg in for Cy Kellett. Dr. Michael Naughton is our guest this hour. And we are talking about work and leisure and having a great discussion. Here's the phone number if you'd like to call in and get your question on the air for Dr. Naughton. It's 888-318-7884. And we're talking about this this integration of work and leisure, and specifically, you know, focusing on work first. But what are the significant problems, Michael, that people face? You know, when you talk about getting work right, what are the most significant problems that people face when they're trying to do that?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of problems. And to be quite frank, for some people, and this is really a kind of a sad reality, they walk into some really dysfunctional organizations where work is really just simply badly organized. You know, it's interesting, Pius the 11th, he wrote an encyclical letter in 1931. It was called Quadrigesimo Anno, and he talked a lot about this question of work. And he said, he had a fascinating line in the document. And he says, "Why is it?" He says, "that matter goes into factories and come out ennobled, and people go into factories and come out degraded." Mm. Right. I mean, think about you know, an automobile factory. And this was kind of a classic problem. I mean, it's an automobile factory is a fascinating, you know, to watch all this stuff come in and then have a car come out is an extraordinary thing. And yet a lot of people in these kind of factory jobs have really, I mean, they have suffered through, you know, bad design and bad management and things of that sort. So sometimes, you know, the reason why people are struggling in work is because it's so badly designed, so badly managed, so badly led, that the only thing they can really get out of it is a paycheck. Mm, and so yeah. So there is some, you know, there's some what we might call structural injustices, structural problems that people are really working under some really bad work. And a lot of people say, why don't they just quit? Well, it'd be nice, but sometimes they have a hard time finding another job. They put food on the table, and there's a kind of grind and the suffering that goes along with it. So that's what we might consider the external problem that we have. But there's also all of us have to come to this and saying there might be some internal problems. And I think there's, I always like this, a friend of mine had a wonderful metaphor that every road has not one ditch, but two ditches, right? So the internal problem, the one ditch for a lot of us is that we, when we go to work, we simply undervalue work. Matthew Kelly, I'm sure many of your listeners know Matthew Kelly, but he had a great line one time. He says, you know, we have to be careful becoming Q&S people at work. And Q&S stands for those who quit but stay, right?
You know,
how long
have
you been at the place? 20 years. When did you quit? 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And a lot of people go into work and they just get the minimum done. You know, they get the work done, but they're not connected. They just kind of quit. And it's not because the workplace is bad, but because they have a kind of bad spirit that's working in there. So some people undervalue work. And then the other big problem is that, and we've already talked about it, it's those who overvalue work, that they think that their identity is found in their achievements. And again, Pope Benedict has this great line, and when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, he wrote a book called Introduction to Christianity. And he says, the most profound moment of our lives is not what we've achieved. It's often what we've accepted, what we have received. I'll give you a quick example of this. Mm-hmm. I was at the University of Dallas visiting, giving some talks down there, and a good friend of mine was down there. And he worked at the university, and he had to quit because he's in the first stages of Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. And he can't think. His physical body's starting to shut down. And he was at the height of his career. He was in his late 50s, early 60s, and he was writing books, teaching, but all that stopped. And I did not see one bit of bitterness, right? And so here is this man who accepted the sickness that he has, and he still recognizes the dignity of who he is and of life, and he still comes to it with joy. That's, I wonder, will I be able to do that? Right, and so that's the reason why the career can never. That's why work can never satisfy.
Yeah, beautiful story, beautiful analogy there. Yeah, and Jenny is calling in. She's in Omaha, listening to Spirit Catholic Radio. Hello, Jenny. You're on the air with Dr. Michael Naughton.
Hi, Dr. Naughton. My question for you is. Well, I recently began working as an activity assistant at a Catholic assisted living, and so my job entails putting on all sorts of events and things for the residents. And I am curious to know how I can help them to live true, satisfying, joyful leisure through what I'm doing.
Well, Jenny, it sounds like actually a beautiful work that you can you're doing, and obviously there's a I first of all, I'm not quite, I don't know probably enough about the nature of that work, but Jenny, you know, one of the things, and I can almost hear it in your voice, a certain kind of joyfulness that you have.
Mm-hmm.
When you're dealing with people who are in these assisted living situations, there's often some real deep suffering that's often occurring. And some deep issues that are going. And when someone like yourself, who was just, you know, and I don't know what your job title is, whatever it might be, when you can connect with them, right, when you can look them in the eye, when you can call them by name, when you can get a sense and we're having a bad day, whatever it might be, those are all about relationships, right? Because that's the thing about it, right, Jenny? Work is about relationships. You know, even if you're driving a bus, you know, you're picking up people, they're walking in your bus. What do you do with them? You know, do you look them in the eye? Do you connect with them? And people notice these things. And so the idea of this kind of deep connection on a day-to-day basis, and some of it is just saying hello, knowing their name. And by the way, a lot of those people in assisted living, my dad's one of them. He's actually with the Little Sisters of the Poor in Chicago, and he can't remember people's names anymore, you know. But when people call him Noel, and that's his name, you know, he connects with them. He hears his name, even though he can't remember their name to return it. But it's that beautiful kind of giving of yourself to those who are there. And maybe one last point, Jenny, on this, and it's always when you get to know people, you also might even see gifts that they have. And then there, in that relationship, can you draw out those gifts even when they are at this point when they're having a hard time doing anything? There still might be something that they can do, and can you draw that out of them? And I think that will give them great life. So sounds to me like great work, Jenny, and God bless you for what you're doing.
Indeed. Yeah, God bless you, Jenny. We so appreciate that. Great call. Well, let's see if we can get to Don here. Don is in Toronto listening to Station of the Cross. Hi, Don, and welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, thanks a lot. Thanks for taking the call. It's a really surprising, eye-opening program. I guess I was struck by a couple of things. One was the your definition of leisure is so contrary to our society, and it makes so much sense. That spiritual refreshment, and explains a lot of distractions going on. People are unsatisfied. But I was wondering if you could repeat that sequence of action leads to thought that was on the fridge. Action leads to thought character. And last one was just if you have a moment, expand on us being made in the image of God and God being creator, and that's how that affects us. Thanks so much.
Thanks, man. Michael, were you able to hear that?
I kind of, if you can
sure,
repeat it,
yeah.
That would be wonderful.
The question was really all about how we're made in the image of God and how that relates to our relationship to leisure. We talked a little bit about that a few minutes ago, but Don is asking you to go a little bit deeper into that.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we, and this is, I think, just so fundamental in everything that's going on in our culture, is that we have to recognize that we're in a created order, and that if you see that, and this is one of the, to be quite frank, it's actually one of the major problems of a kind of capitalistic culture that we live in, is that we, and by the way, I want to be very clear, the free market is a very important reality in our world. But the problem with sometimes the free market is that we think, or with the kind of capitalistic place that we live in, we think that we create ourselves in the work that we do. And to be quite frank, I think all of this is connected to often the gender ideology and some of the issues that we're dealing with right now. We think that somehow we're the creator of the world. You know, we live in a highly technological world. Technology has allowed us to do phenomenal things. But what happens is technology, in a sense, gets disconnected to this created order. All sorts of problems start to kind of play themselves out. So this idea that we're subjected to a creation not of our own making, and that's why the important nature of our work is a vocation. And vocation comes from this Latin word vocare, which means the call, that we have a call, that God's trying to call out to us in terms of the gifts that he has given to us for in a sense, to continue and to enhance the creation of the world. So that's why this nature of creation is so important. And that's why the theology of the creation, it's why the church is so important. And if you don't have that theology of creation, and if it's simply about self-creation, we got some serious problems ahead of us.
Yeah, amen to that. Yeah, thank you so much for that question. We do appreciate that, Don. Well, you know, Michael, one of the questions that I have is I'm trying to think about organizations that I know that are really, I guess, getting work right, you know, in the way that you've described it today and in the book. What are some concrete examples that you know of?
Yeah. You know, Sherry, we got lots of them. We got lots of them. And let's what we don't want to do is overlook the ordinary good that's being done in the world. Just take, for example, food. You and I get food whenever we want. Yeah. And there's all sorts of corporations and businesses and small farms and small businesses that make that possible every day. That's a really good thing going on in the world. You know, we spend less of our money, the percentage of our income on food than probably any other time in the history of humanity, right? Mm. Businesses have in the church, there's this thing called the universal destination of material goods. God has created the material goods for everybody. How does that happen? It happens through business, and all sorts of businesses make it happen.
Yeah, amen. Well, Dr. Michael Naughton, I want to thank you again for being with us, the director of the Center for Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. And the book is Getting Work Right, Labor and Leisure in a Fragmented World. Thanks for being with us.
Sure, a great joy. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. And coming up next hour, David Deevil, we're talking about Cardinal Newman and Catholic education. And here's the number if you want to get started on that right away, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We'll be back with Hour 2 of Catholic Answers Live coming up just around the bend.